Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about how to teach the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
And Julie, guess what? This is our 100th episode. What?
How is that even possible?
I don't know. That's crazy. Because, okay, I remember when we were first talking about it before we had even recorded anything. And the discussion came up, do we have that much to say? Are there really that many topics? Because maybe there aren't. And there have been. Oh, easily.
Well, and we can't stop. Like, we can't stop coming up with stuff. It's so much fun. We're having a blast doing this.
Yes. And I hope other people are having a blast watching and listening and learning. And because we are learning a lot. I know that I have changed a lot of how I teach because of our discussions. And it's been a great journey for us. So 100. That's awesome. And to celebrate our 100th episode, we have a bunch of special guests with us. So let's bring them in, Julie. We have Eliza and Kennedy and Presley and Porter and Rigby. And look at that. They're all smiling. We told them they didn't have to smile. They could be.
Yeah, Kevin, you invited them to show grumpy faces.
Yes, if they really wanted to. I don't know
what's wrong with you. I said, smile, guys. And Kevin's like, no, be grumpy. Do whatever you want. Bring you. You guys, thanks for smiling. I love it. Yeah.
Good job. Okay, good job, Julie. So
can I tell you why I'm so excited about today? I can't tell you how many times we've had discussions as just like Kevin and I about, oh, we should try this with the youth. This is amazing with the youth. And then we've gotten done and we're like, I don't even know if we got that right. And so instead of guessing, we want you to teach us today. And we're so grateful that you were brave enough to come on. And we told them before we started, we're like, your opinions are wanted. Like, we applaud any feedback you want to give us today. And so we hope that they're going to be brutally honest with us about what they love and what they don't love when it comes to gospel teaching. And our goal is that at the end of this, we all are going to be able to glean from the minds of these fabulous youth what makes a really effective and connected gospel learning experience for them, and a little bit about what doesn't. Like, what makes it fall flat on its face? What are we doing, not even knowing that we're doing it sometimes, that causes disconnect with them? And so that is our goal today. And we're excited because I know that they're going to do an amazing job of teaching
us.
You know,
one thing I just thought of is, how many times are we teaching a gospel lesson and then the youth come up and say, you know what? That sucked. And here's why, right? That never happens. I don't think any of you have ever gone up to the teacher afterwards and said that was pretty horrible. And this is what you did wrong, right? There's no way you would do that. Well, today is the time when you can say, yeah, that stinks. Or what's awesome is this. That's what us adult teachers want to hear. So don't hold back.
Porter's already bored.
Yeah.
Porter's not bored. No, we talked too long. Kevin, watch body language of the youth. Number one, teaching right here. Watch their body language. Porter's
all right.
Bored. Okay, watch Porter. We're gonna put you on the spot. We're gonna unbore you. Here we go. You ready? Okay. Absolutely. We want you to think you're so awesome. Okay, we want you guys to introduce yourselves. We want you to get to know everybody just a little bit, right? So I'm gonna ask, we're gonna start with Eliza and we're gonna go around, and each one is gonna tell you their name and their age or grade in school, and then where they're from, and one thing that they like to do outside of school. On your mark, get set. Eliza, you are up, my dear.
Alrighty. Hey guys, my name is Eliza Lynn. I also go by Eliza, but I do have a friend named Eliza, so my friends call me Eliza Lynn. I live in Arizona and I am 14, so I am a freshman in high school. It's my first year. And I play violin, so I am in chamber orchestra at school, but I also like to play violin out of school and get money for playing it for people.
Very cool.
Oh, seriously? That's awesome. Like, people hire you to come in and play violin for stuff?
Yep, basically. I tried it last year I tried like doing mini porch concerts for people in December, and I got quite a bit of money doing that. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, that is genius. I love it.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Thank you. What about you, Kennedy?
My name's Kennedy and I live in Idaho. I'm 17, so I'm a senior. And one thing that I like to do is just snowboarding during the winter. Mm. And it's getting close, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay, so before we started, Kennedy's snowboard was behind her. And I was hoping that she would leave it there as her backdrop. I'm kind of that disappointed was a pretty cool that it backdrop. Disappeared. It was pretty cool. That's awesome. All right, Miss Presley.
My name is Presley. I'm 15 years old, so I'm a sophomore this year. I live in Wisconsin, and I really like anything music, so singing and guitar especially.
But do you do both at the same time?
Sometimes.
Takes some coordination, girl. That's awesome.
Do you write your own stuff?
Yeah, do you write?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. So go look up Presley on Spotify and all the other great places. Right.
We're promoting your next album it comes out. It's awesome. All right, Porter, your turn.
I'm Porter. I'm from Alberta, and I am a senior this year. I'm 17 years old, and I like to play a lot of sports. I play volleyball, basketball, and rugby.
Awesome. Do you play them at school?
Yeah, for my school.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Nice. That's awesome. And then what about your bro, Rigby?
I'm Rigby. I'm 15. I'm a sophomore this year. And I also play lots of sports. I play rugby and some basketball. And I like to play music. I play trumpet, a little bit of guitar. So.
All right. That's awesome. So we've got three musicians on, kindred spirits. I love it. Nice.
That is great.
That's so great, you guys.
Okay. Well, to start this off.
Super happy.
Yes. To start this off, there are many different ways to learn the gospel through, you know, there's regular like Sunday school, young men, young women's, there's Sunday school, there's FSY, there's seminary, there's just hanging out and talking with friends, there's trips to the temple where you could talk about, I mean, so many different ways. What is your favorite way to learn the gospel? What is your favorite type of learning experience? If you've, out of all of them that you've been a part of, what is your favorite gospel learning experience?
I'd say that mine would probably be FSY or seminary for sure.
Okay, what part of FSY? Let's drill down a little bit. What part of FSY is your favorite?
I love in the mornings, we had a little gospel study time to ourselves. And we would study whatever scripture we wanted to. And we were able to just write our thoughts on it and just ponder. And we got about half an hour to do that. And it was really nice outside in the mornings. And just having a little alone time to feel God's presence and feel God's love as I studied his word, just felt really special to me. And then we would come back together after that half an hour and we would share, if we wanted to, if we didn't feel comfortable sharing what we were thinking, what we read, that was totally okay. But yeah, I just really love the gospel study time. And I also loved being able to connect with other people. My FSY company was, we clicked like that. It was amazing. Mm. And I loved being able to, connect with others like Jesus would.
That's great.
Oh, that's thank you. Awesome. Kennedy. I love that. And I love Eliza, that you said something very specific that I want to make sure that we come back to a little bit later. You said that some of it was your preparation. Like you had great discussions with them, but you took some time yourself before. I think that's something really cool. I don't hear very many youth talk about kind of that personal study time as being such an important part of their gospel learning experiences. So anyway, I really liked that. That's sorry. Great. Kennedy, did you have something?
Yeah. So in seminary, my favorite days are Wednesdays because we do Come Follow Me Wednesday. over at Bonneville. And so we'll get about like 20 minutes to a half an hour just to study anything that we want from Come Follow Me, just on our own. And I really like that part. That's my favorite part.
So when you say on your own, are you, I mean, is it literally just like a half hour or whatever that was on your own and you're by yourself doing it? Or?
Well, we're in the class still, but like we get to do our personal, just personal study, just like at our desks, basically.
Right.
Well, okay, this is Julie, surprising.
That's twice. Yeah, I know, me too. I know. This is great.
Like, I'm totally surprised. Okay, so let me ask you a question on both of those before we move on and see if Presley, Porter, and Rigby have anything. So just, is like, they're giving you time to do this. That's not a teacher teaching. What is it about that? Like, why? I would think that would almost be uncomfortable.
So I had one teacher that talked about it a lot. He said that it was hard for him to give up a day of teaching because he had so much that he wanted us to learn. But the entire seminary felt like it was important that we were able to learn how we can study on our own so that later when we graduate and we like prepare to go on a mission and stuff, we know what we're doing when we do that. And it's not a whole learning experience then.
So was part of what they did before that teach you how to study and then basically give you the time to practice how to study? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's rad.
I know. No kidding.
Wow. That surprises me a little bit. Okay. What about the three remaining guys? Do you have anything to add to that? What are your favorite learning experiences?
I would also have to say that mine was FSY. It's just a really great experience because you're with people who are like-minded and you're kind of just separated from everything else and everything is related to the gospel, but you're also still having fun and connecting with people.
Mm,
Presley, do you find that that's different? Sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Julie. You're going.
Do you find that, is that different than high school for you? Like, do you feel like
at my high school, me and my brother are the only members.
No.
So it's very different being at FSY when everyone is a member.
Right.
I can imagine.
I like what you said, Presley, that you're separated from all the other stuff. And that's really interesting to me because when I think it's easier to possibly learn the gospel when you're not worried about the other stuff that's going on in life and you're focused on, you have a time period where you're just focused with others. You know, like you said, you two are the only one members at your high school. So you two get to be with others and that's all you're focused on, which brings up some ideas that we maybe talk about later. So I like that, Presley. Thanks.
Cool. What about you guys, brothers?
I think my favorite might be FSY or Young Men's. I think just being able to make friends and connect with people and just talk with them and learn things and play games. I think that's just a great way. It's just fun. I think that's...
I love
that. What about Young Men? You said Young Men's. What is it? Because that's a little bit different than FSY. What is it about Young Men's that you like?
Hanging out with boys my age, any kind of activity we do, I think it's always fun just to be with them.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I love that. Let me ask just a follow-up question really quickly before we go off of Rigby. Rigby, do you feel like it's like you can talk about gospel stuff with your friends in those types of environments, or do you find that it's still kind of tough to have like authentic gospel conversations? I guess I'm just kind of trying to understand if that's like a thing, or is it just the being together part? Does that make any sense at all?
I think it makes sense. I think, it depends on the context of what the activity is, but I think it's easy to talk about gospel teachings if the time comes.
Okay. Like, so you guys aren't hesitant to talk about it. You don't all go silent the minute a gospel topic comes up or something like that. Okay. That's super awesome. Cool. I know that we've had both dynamics in our ward. That's why I asked the question. So yeah, Porter, do you have anything to add?
I think my favorite way I've probably learned about the gospel and like through the gospel, I'm very close with my dad, or I guess our dad. And but having conversations with him and my mom as well. But I just remember like long conversations about whatever it may be, gospel related, is just like, has been really good for me. And it's been a real big help in my testimony and like my journey on the path towards eternal life and kind of becoming as Christ-like as I can be in my time here on earth.
Nice. You just made your mom and dad very happy. They're going to hear that and go, oh, we did something right, baby.
I know. I mean, that has to be like a parenting victory.
I know. Amen. Score.
But it's also, it's a reminder because one of the things we bring up a lot, you guys wouldn't know this because we don't expect that you listen. But like one of the things that we bring up a lot is the importance of the relationship between parents and, you know, talking in your families. Like it's really tough as a parent to bring up gospel discussions when sometimes you're met with eye rolls. And in my family, I get met with, oh my gosh, sometimes. My daughter is now asking for it more, which is like, oh my gosh, what's happening in this house? But there have been phases where it's really tough to talk about gospel topics with my kids because it's not, I don't know, it's just hard. And so it's really, really good to hear you say that that's one of the most important things in your gospel journey has been those conversations with your parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I guess with a follow-up, do any of you have a favorite gospel topic that you love talking about and discussing or studying?
Yeah, bounce around. You don't have to go in order.
Yeah, Kennedy? Yeah.
I really love the New Testament because it's all of Christ's teachings when he was here on earth. And I just think that's so cool to learn. Like what he was teaching people that were here on earth.
Good.
I love that. That's awesome.
Any other faves?
Anyone else?
Yeah, I really like the gospel topic about like forgiveness and stuff. Because I mean, like all of us, I've made lots of mistakes in my life and it's like just trying to be better every day. And it's really comforting to know that it's like, no matter how many mistakes I make and how bad I feel, it's like the Lord and Christ will never abandon me. And it's like, they're always there for me.
I love it. Are you talking about like even just gospel topics in the gospel topics library, or is it specifically like topics like repentance and forgiveness that help you feel reassured?
Just topics like repentance and forgiveness.
Okay.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Eliza. I saw Eliza's hand.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a number one favorite specific topic, but kind of like Porter, I do like topics where it talks about attributes of Christ and his mercy and his love. And I do love topics where I can personalize it. I can really deepen my understanding in his love for me personally. And his love for others personally too. I really like reading things that are talking about his love for his children, his infinite and perfect love for his children. Because even it was before FSY, but it was a few months ago, a year ago, I'd say actually. I didn't feel important. I didn't feel loved and I did not feel like I mattered. It was really sad. Junior high was kind of rough and I didn't really have any true friends, but, after going to FSY and studying those topics, I came to really deepen my understanding in, the Lord's love for me personally. And I recognized that I was important and I was loved. And that he'd always be there for me every step of the way.
That's wonderful. You know, I am convinced that the only good purpose of middle school is to be so rough that it brings us closer to Christ. I think there is no redeeming value in middle school except for that right there. So looks like you just proved it, Eliza.
That is so true. I agree 100%.
That's so awesome. Anyone else have something to add to that? Yeah, Presley.
The plan of salvation has always been my favorite thing because even if like someone's time on earth is done and it's obviously super hard to grieve and miss them, there is always the, like, we can see them again no matter what, and we can always go back and meet them again in heaven. And I think that's super special.
Yeah.
I love that. The hope and perspective that comes because of the plan of salvation. That's great. All right. Anything else to add, boys? No. Okay. So here's, let's complain for a minute. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some of the no-nos, some of the things that you've experienced that teachers have done that made you go, that was lame or boring or landed flat or shut me down or whatever. So I want to hear, what are some of the things that are very difficult, drive you crazy, that you don't love about the way that people teach the gospel in various settings? So no names allowed, but free for all in terms of your thoughts. We'd love to hear. Anybody want to start us off?
Okay. Presley.
Especially in seminary, the teachers ask questions, and obviously it's super great to answer, but I do not like when they force everyone to answer or like specifically call on people. I think it's important to share thoughts when you have them and not expect people to answer or force people to answer.
Putting people on the spot.
Yes.
Right? Is that what
so you're saying? So you're saying, okay, here's my question. And then they're just calling a person out and say, why don't you answer that one? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good one. That's a good one. What else, guys?
Yeah, Eliza. Yeah.
I'd kind of agree with Presley. Like, if your teacher is forcing you to answer a question, it becomes a very uncomfortable class for not just you, but all of the other students, because they feel like they're going to get put on the spot as well at some point. And if you don't feel comfortable answering a question, or you don't have a thought about that specific thing, at least as of yet, like, it's okay. Like, you're learning, and that's part of learning. You don't have to answer a question. But they ask you questions so you can think about it and answer it in your head, or have that question in your mind as you learn more, not so that you feel uncomfortable and you're forced to answer the question. It's personally never happened to me, but I know a few people who have had that experience, and it's really uncomfortable for them. So do not. Please do not.
Okay. So let me ask a follow-up question though to that then. So I've been in classes before where I'm trying to get a discussion going with the youth. And so I'll ask a question, and then I'll just kind of be like, I'm comfortable with silence, and I'll make them suffer until somebody agrees to talk, kind of a thing. Is that annoying or is that helpful? Because part of what I'm thinking in my mind is, oh, I got to give them time to think about it. But then now I'm listening to you talk, and I'm like, I wonder if that actually just forces them to talk when they don't necessarily have something to say. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, Presley.
I definitely think it's a good way to get something going, because at least then it's still like a choice to answer, and it's not, you need to answer this question. Is someone can still choose to answer the question. I think that's a great way to do it. Yeah.
Okay. So giving them time isn't bad. Like, that pressure isn't a bad thing. It's specifically when someone calls on you and puts you on the spot that's annoying.
Yeah.
I saw some nods. Yeah. Porter, is that you that just said yeah?
Yeah.
I said, I agreed with that. I think it's, just like specifically calling people out. But yeah, I think a lot of the time people just need time to think, or like time to work up the courage to talk in front of people. Maybe they're uncomfortable. So maybe the silence, I think giving time for the conversation to open up, so then people feel comfortable talking, I think is a good way to do it.
That's
okay. Can I ask one more follow-up? So what happens, like, pulling on what Eliza and Presley were talking about a little bit earlier? Oh no, was it Kennedy? Yeah, it was Kennedy. You were talking about the idea of this quiet time. It was Eliza and Kennedy, and kind of the reflective time. Is it a good idea if you have like a question that you want to have a real discussion about to actually say, okay, I want you to think about it for a couple of minutes and like plant the silence and say, it's intentional. Think about it, jot a couple notes, and then try and have a discussion. Would that be a good way to do it? Or do you have a different suggestion?
Eliza.
Yeah, Eliza.
I think that that's a really good way to do it. Just letting them know, like, it is okay to be silent right now, because silence can also be a little intimidating. But if you let them know that the silence is okay and that, like, it's intentional for it to be silent and for them to process the question in their brains, have them think about it for a little bit, it definitely gives them time to answer and actually think about it so that they're really learning.
Okay. That's okay. Good. Cool. I want to know what else drives people crazy too. Sorry. I didn't mean to get super hung up on that. I'm sorry.
Let me throw one thing in, Kennedy. I want to get to you, but real quickly, one of the reasons we ask this question is because when adults teach adults, typically there is no lack of people talking. In fact, sometimes most of the time there is too much talking. And so to go from adults who just sometimes go on and on and on, and you can't stop them sometimes, and they go off on totally different topics than what you're actually talking about, to go to youth who sometimes aren't talking, that makes them feel uncomfortable. Like, okay, well, I'm going to make Eliza start talking now, because we got to have something, right? They're used to that. So I think that's probably where, part of where I'm coming from sometimes, or other adults are coming from. And I think that's might be why they do that. But I'm really glad you mentioned that, because it's very different. And we need to be good with that silence.
Yeah. I just think you said, you articulated it really well. We need to know that that's super uncomfortable. So
yeah,
I'm glad, well articulated, Kevin. Kennedy, what were you going to say?
I really do not like it when teachers try to, like, they'll open the question and then somebody will answer and they'll try to, like, direct their question back to what their lesson plan was instead of letting the spirit guide the discussion.
Oh, you're all nodding your head big time.
Oh my gosh, that is so good. Okay, let me just articulate back to what I just heard you say, because I think it is worth reinforcing. You don't like it when you give an answer that then gets manipulated to make the point that the teacher was trying to make. Like, you feel like they have an agenda and they're going to, like, squish your participation into the agenda versus allowing the discussion to organically go where the spirit directs it. Am I right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let the record state, everyone was nodding and smiling and excited about that comment. For those of you just listening, that's what happened on video. So, yeah, yes. Interesting. Tell us more about that, you guys.
Yeah. Who else can?
Eli. That has only happened once in my seminary class. It was actually today. And it wasn't me, thankfully, but someone gave I felt really bad for them, but someone gave an answer to a question. It wasn't directly answering the question, but it was pretty straightforward. And it actually was a really good thought. And I thought it was a very unique thought. I thought it was amazing. I thought that they made a really good point. And but then my teacher kind of was like, okay, so what you're meaning is... And then they kind of, like, pulled it back to exactly what their question was asking. And I was like, it's not the best way to do things. Please don't. Because then it makes, like, the student who answered, it makes them feel like their answer wasn't worth answering. Like, it makes them feel like they did not need to answer, because... Why answer when the teacher already has a direct answer and they only want that answer?
So good. Gotcha. So good. So good.
Presley,
thank you.
You're nodding a lot. Any comment, follow up to that?
I will say that happens a lot. My seminary teachers are very, like, organized, planned people, and they have specific things that they want to have said and, like, go a certain way. And like Kennedy said, it's super important to let the Savior guide things. Like, there's thoughts and promptings that are going to happen, and it's important to let that happen.
Yeah.
Can we dig on this just a tiny bit more?
Yeah.
Presley, what does that look like? Like, because I'll be honest, you know, I go into a lesson, and if I'm really well prepared, which I try to be, it's much more comfortable for me to be able to go wherever the lesson goes, but I also feel kind of attached to my lesson plans mentally. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got so much good stuff I want to get through. And then I get anxious. And so tell me what it looks like for a teacher to follow where the spirit leads. Kennedy, did you have a comment on that?
Yeah. I feel like in the seminary class, one of the ones that I had that did a really good job of just allowing the spirit to teach was that he came in with a lesson plan, obviously, but he would bring up like a topic or something. And if we had a bunch of people answering, he would just let us talk. Unless like, it was time to go, obviously, but he would just let us talk. And then when it kind of died down, he would bring it back into his lesson plan. Like he would go to like the next thing that he had planned or something else later that tied into it better. But just allowing like the students to be able to talk and to be able to connect it to their lives more allows you to like really take it in and actually get something more out of seminary.
So he didn't talk that much.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Rigby, you want to comment on that too?
Yeah, I agree with Kennedy. I think like the lesson plan isn't always going to like go the perfect way. I think that a teacher has to be flexible with what the students are talking about and obviously let the spirit guide the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Porter?
Yeah, I just think if, again, with what Kennedy said, if like they get to a topic that it's pretty obvious that the students are like passionate about or really connect with, instead of maybe trying to rush through it or just like get on to the next thing because they've got it allotted like for the next thing, maybe they're going through and they've got like time stamps for each kind of thing they want to get through. But it's trying to, if there's a question or a topic or a section or whatever that the students are clearly like resonating with, then it's like maybe just let them like, if the spirit's in the room, just like don't try to rush through it and maybe inadvertently force the spirit out. Just let the conversation kind of flow in itself.
That's a good way to say it. I like that.
A really good way to say it. And let me ask if I'm hearing this correctly. I'm picking up a vibe, and I think, would it be fair to say that you get more out of a lesson from each other than from the teacher sometimes when it comes to application? Like if the teacher kind of introduces a topic, I see Kennedy nodding. Like, is that where your most engaged learning takes place?
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot easier to just relate to people your age. So when people your age are having the discussion, they're also teaching. They're teaching the class while they're talking. And it's a lot easier to connect with somebody that has more like similar like trials and stuff that you've been going through than a teacher would, because I feel like the teacher's kind of on like the outside perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And you trust what each other are saying maybe without hesitation, you know? Yeah. I think that's such a good point. Okay. So Kev, are you asking the same question in your mind that I am? Like, how do we do that? Like, how do we help create a rich discussion? Is it because they've asked a really good question? Is it because they've helped to create a culture where that happens? Why does that happen? What can you identify as some key elements to making that type of discussion a reality?
Yeah, Presley.
Yeah.
I think the students being connected and close to each other is the biggest thing, because if they're not comfortable talking around each other, they're not going to have that environment that they feel comfortable sharing in.
So giving them opportunities to create connections with each other is part of what a teacher can do to help facilitate that?
I think that's awesome. 100%.
I think that happens on a hyper level at FSY, right? Your company or do they call it company or family? Or what do they call it? Family?
Yeah.
Okay. Family, you get together and you're just starting to create connections right away. And then because of those things and the games that you play together, now you're able to maybe break down some of those walls so you can talk. In a classroom, sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't, I guess. Maybe in a young men, young women.
But yeah, like Rigby was talking about it, right? Rigby was talking about how in young men, so that's part of what makes
yeah,
the gospel learning discussion so good is that they're connecting with each other, playing games, doing other things, and then they feel like they can have those conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Porter, so you said you had your hand raised. Oh, sorry, Kev, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Porter, go ahead.
No, I kind of the same thing that Presley said, and I like what you said about like building a culture. It's just if students aren't comfortable with each other, they're not going to be, because the spirit is often really personal and it makes us feel really vulnerable, sharing how we feel the spirit or what the spirit's telling us. So if they're not comfortable with each other and not comfortable with the teacher or anything like that, it's going to be really hard to open up. Because if you feel vulnerable around people that maybe you don't know too well or aren't comfortable with, it's going to be really scary and it's going to be harder to have valuable, real conversations about the gospel in comparison to a place where you feel like you can be yourself and like you can be open.
Okay, so I've got a question about that, Porter, because I've been in classes where we are all teaching, and I can think of a specific young men's group that knew each other too well, I think, right? And they're talking about anything but gospel, and they're just joking it up and da 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 da. But that's, and I'm kind of going two ways with this, and this is really a question that I want you guys to help me understand, because I almost see this as that they're comfortable on one level, on a social level, fun level, but maybe not comfortable on a gospel level. So they're comfortable with each other, but the kind of comfort that you guys are talking about is beyond that social piece, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Expound. So, yeah. Talk to us a little bit. How do you create, would someone create that? Or do you have any ideas?
I think you can create it. I think you create it in the same way that you create a social comfortability. Like the way you become comfortable with people is like getting to know them and getting to know what they like and what they do and talking about them, talking with them and hanging out with them. And it's, I think, the exact same way with the spirit. It's just you kind of have to shift that maybe the topic of conversation or the activity from temporal things to eternal things. And it's like, in order to become comfortable with the gospel, you have to familiarize yourself with the gospel.
Good.
Can I make a comment on that, Porter? And maybe you guys can expound on this just a little bit. I'm thinking about my son, and I'm thinking to what Kevin, what you were just describing, like, I think it's difficult for teenagers, tell me if I'm wrong or right, to articulate their thoughts about the gospel, because like you identified, Porter, it's vulnerable. And sometimes you're around people who, even members of the church, that kind of tease you and make fun of you and mock if things get a little cheesy or whatever. And so part of what I learned from my son is that it's okay to step into that uncomfortable space and allow them to fumble through it a bit and keep going back there and allow it to be uncomfortable and fumble through it. And then eventually it becomes more comfortable. Am I right or wrong? Like, just keep stepping into discomfort a little bit, or like, how do you handle that?
Presley.
Yeah. Presley.
I think that's definitely the biggest way to do it. It takes a lot of courage for that very first person to step into that vulnerable state, but after that, it's so much easier to build onto that and keep adding and discussing.
Good point. Okay. Like, if someone will do it, it just takes kind of breaking through that barrier just a little bit. And so allowing, you know, everyone to kind of go there until they feel more comfortable doing it regularly. Yeah, Eliza, what were you going to add?
So in my seminary class, my teacher has us sit, like, we don't have a seating chart, but what he does want us to do is to kind of sit somewhere different every single day and not just where we feel comfortable sitting, but where, like, by someone that we either haven't met before, don't know very well, looks like they're lonely, because he wants us to find the one, because that's what Jesus did. And so that's how we handle our like seating arrangement. And then wherever we sit, we usually have a group of three or four. And whenever he asks us a question or we read a verse and he is wanting to know our thoughts on it, most of the times he asks us to turn to our groups and he gives us about a minute or so, maybe a little longer, to discuss and, you know, share our thoughts on it. And I feel like that's really helpful because you're able to kind of connect better in that sense. And you kind of connect with more people as you sit in different places as well. So I feel like a seating chart kind of disturbs that. And then turning to your like groups, like it engages, if that makes any sense.
It does. Is it a lower barrier to entry too? Because it's a smaller group. It's not quite as intimidating. And then you can move on and have discussions more as a larger group. Are you kind of, is that part of what you think happens as well?
For sure. Yeah. I feel like if it were like a group of 6 to 10, like that would be crazy. People would not talk at all because like the first day he told us to get into groups of 4, right? And that like the people sitting near us were the people we'd be talking to about like the questions he was asking about the verses and giving our thoughts on it and stuff. But he didn't give us big groups. He gave us groups of 3 or 4. Like whoever was sitting near us, it's very chill. Like he just lets us talk and give our thoughts, and it doesn't have to be specifically an answer to the question, but it's just our thoughts and what we are feeling as we read or as we're listening to a talk or someone else read or whatever. We literally just share and just talk, and that kind of just eases a bit of the nerves around in the group. And someone does have to talk first though, because it's a little awkward when no one talks and you're just kind of sitting there like, hi guys. But if someone talks first, it kind of lessens
it eases
the chance of people just falling silent the entire time.
You know, Julie and I, awesome. you and I have talked about the importance of connection in teaching. And I think all of you are kind of really hitting on that point of connecting with each other and being then having the discussion with each other. And that's where a lot of the learning comes from. A lot of learning, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of learning comes from each other more, almost more than it does the teacher, which is an interesting perspective for the teachers because they think they're teaching. And it almost sounds like, you know, get out of the way. Let them teach each other.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, is so that kind of close?
Yes, yeah. Sure. Yeah, so. For sure. It's also important to, like, as a teacher, you want to just teach. But if you don't give everybody a chance to have it run through their brains themselves, and also, like, you're not the one teaching. The Spirit is, right? And so you're the one helping others get their minds ready for the Spirit to enter and teach them what they need to hear.
That's good. Porter, you're about to say something too.
Oh, yeah. Did I forgot what it was now, but I just agree. I agree with what Eliza said, but I was. I'll let you know if it comes back to me.
Okay. All right. All right.
Awesome. I just have to point something out that is really interesting. As we're listening to you, you're talking about the moments, you know, you talked a little bit about the moments that you have to kind of engage with the Spirit yourself. You know, that's about kind of a vertical connection, if you will. And then you're talking about the moments where you're connecting horizontally with each other in the learning environment and how valuable that is. Mm-hmm. But you're not talking very much about connecting with the teacher. And I think that sometimes teachers think that it's their job to connect with every single student. And I think that that's important because there's an element of trust that has to be established. But I think even more important is that we need to get out of the way. Would you agree? Like get out of the way in not a negative way, but like I think we take too much of it upon ourselves as teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we study the heck out of it and we bring all these materials and we're like, this is going to be fascinating to you. Doctrine and Covenants, right? I'm going to give you the history of every single person that's in this. And we have all this knowledge and it's fascinating to us. But like, is that really what you want? Can Porter. You react to that? Yeah.
Porter, I saw you.
Yeah,
go like, eh.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I think, yeah, get out of the way. Yeah, I think maybe like a little bit.
Just get out of the way.
You see what I'm saying, no, right?
I totally see what you're saying. And I agree. I think it's like, I think it's important that the teachers maybe more like if you were on like a, let's say like you're on a hike, that the teacher is more of like the pathway and less of like a tour guide, where it's like, they're showing you kind of like what there is, like you're on the way looking at what you need to see, but they're not telling you exactly what you're seeing. They're letting you kind of interpret it yourself.
That was good.
I like that a lot.
That was you're really genius, good.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah.
You knew that already. That was really good. Yeah.
That was really good. Mm. Eliza, what were you going to say? I saw your hand too.
Yeah, I was going to say definitely let people socialize. I feel like sometimes teachers feel like they should be the ones doing all of the socializing, and that's not necessarily true. Other people need to socialize. But it's also important for the teacher to connect with their students as well. My teacher has, like, we have, my seminary class has a really great connection with my seminary teacher, and he has a great connection with us. We all feel comfortable around him, and the reason why is because from the very first day he came up to us and started talking to us and asking us questions, and you know, like he could tell those who were a little more shy, he wouldn't like, you know, push the pressure on them for I want to know everything about you, you know. But I feel like it is good for both the students to connect with the students and the teacher to connect with the students. It just needs to be balanced.
That's good.
Okay. That's a great thought. Kennedy, what were you going to add to that?
I think also like just because like Eliza said, it is important for a teacher to have the connection with the student. And I think one of the best ways to do that is just for them to be themselves. Cause sometimes I feel like teachers will just put on like their professional mask basically, and they won't like be very personal with the students or anything. And that kind of pushes everybody away because you're like, well, I'm not going to get anything out of talking with them because I feel like they're not actually going to mean it because they're being professional right now. So it doesn't like allow for a deep connection.
Okay. So are you saying that in order to have authentic discussion, that it's really important for the teacher to model authenticity, like to be doing the same thing? So the teacher, to go back to Porter's little analogy there just a minute ago, except I'm not going to articulate it as well as he did, like you become one of the hikers, right? And you so instead of trying to, you know, differentiate, like feel this, what's the word that I'm looking for? I think that sometimes as teachers, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to like have the answers and to have the plan and to, you know, make sure you're setting a good example and all of those things versus just trying really hard to connect with people and through that connection, point them to the Savior, right? Just be yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Eliza, what are you?
I really like what Kennedy said. I feel like when you're teaching, you want to be as professional as possible, but you have to be real with your students because they need to know that you are a real person. And that helps you connect with them better. That helps them connect with you better. And like my teacher, he talks to us. He makes jokes occasionally. Of course, they're appropriate ones. They're ones that like happen at the right times, not when we're like trying to feel the spirit and stuff like that. But he's real. He's a real person. He has a real life outside of teaching us. And that just makes the entire teaching experience better for both sides.
That's relatable. Really
awesome. Oh, you guys were learning so much. This is good. You know, so through this, I mean, We're getting close to time, but I have to tell you, it isn't an often thing when we get to just talk with the youth and say, hey, how are things going and what's going to make things better? I think that pretty much never happens. We almost never get feedback from the youth like this. So this is incredibly valuable, you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey, can I just say something? Guess what, you guys? Guess what? We're doing what you said. Do you remember how we told you about all the questions that we had prepared? How many of them have we even asked? Kevin, we're doing what they said. We're going where the Spirit's leading us. We're taking... We're following where it's leaded. What?
Sweet.
I don't know what I...
Well, we're leaded.
Where it's leaded.
We're leaded.
Where it's leaded.
We like to make up words here. So if you make up words, that's fine.
You guys, I do it all the time. It's really bad. If I don't know a word, I just fill it in. Did I make that one up? Did I say that once?
Yeah, well, no, you just did now. Well done.
I know. I'm so good.
Yeah,
whatever. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just noticed that we were doing what? Like we weren't following our plan.
No, we're not following our plan. And that's great.
Good job, us. Okay. Can I, Kevin, I know you're going to wrap up, but I just have this one more kind of burning question for me.
Okay.
I want, when I'm in, when I'm teaching, I really wish that the youth felt more comfortable asking honest questions. Like, you know, what are some of the things that you are curious about? What are some of the things that bother you? What are some of the concerns that you have about doctrine related to the church? How do you help youth feel more comfortable doing that? Kennedy.
In my seminary, we have this QR code and they give one to everybody at the beginning of the trimester. And then they'll just have it on like the doors and the walls and stuff. But basically you can scan it and then submit questions anonymously. So you don't have to ask the question yourself. It doesn't connect it back to you. And then for one of our devotionals in the morning, not in the morning, but like before we start the lesson, we'll just pick, our teacher picks one of the questions, maybe one that had like multiple just worded a little bit differently each time. And it'll put it up on the board for us. And then it'll give us some resources that we can use if we want, like some talks or scriptures that he found, or we can go in by ourselves and look for it. And then we'll come back afterwards and do like a group discussion about it and what answers we found.
Oh, what a great idea.
That's pretty neat.
Is that more comfortable? Like, does it feel uncomfortable to bring up hard questions in front of the group sometimes?
Like, yeah,
is that awkward?
Yeah, I think it goes way better if you can do it anonymously, because then people aren't afraid of like maybe what other people think since they're asking that question. Like maybe they won't feel as nervous about it since it can't be connected back to them.
Good. That's a great point.
Presley, I saw you nodding as well. You want to add to that?
Yeah. I think it's super important that people feel comfortable to ask questions. And I think that's a great idea to have it anonymously, because I think fear of judgment is one of the main aspects of that. Like if you're scared of what other people think, you're not going to be open about what you think. So I think that anonymous way is like a great way to do that, because then it has no connection to you.
That's a great point, because of the fear of judgment that goes along with maybe some of those questions you might have. Great point. I saw Porter and Rigby nodding a little bit as well. Did you guys have a comment or?
No, not really.
No.
Okay.
You
know, I think a lot of times teachers are thinking, okay, what questions am I going to ask? And then they ask a question and they expect responses, but I don't know that a lot of times we're thinking about what questions do you have that you can ask us or you can ask each other, you know, kind of turn that around and let you ask more questions. It's a different way of thinking about, quote, teaching a lesson is to say what questions you have. And then everyone discusses those.
Yeah.
Either in the small groups, like you were saying, right? In the two or three or four, or maybe as a whole group, but that's a good thought as well. Need to think about more that one more. Okay. Last question as we wrap up. Are you guys ready? You guys, this has been so good. Really love this. What do you wish all teachers knew about teaching youth? If you could kind of sum it up all together, what do you wish they knew about teaching you?
Give us advice.
Okay, Eliza.
I can put it into one simple phrase: love, connect, and teach. If you don't love them, you can't connect with them. And if you don't connect with them, then you can't teach them.
Good.
So good.
I like that.
So good.
Presley.
I think the biggest thing is meet your students where they're at. Everyone is at different places and different comfortability levels. And it's important to just understand that and just work with it.
And a really important point, I think, of that is in order to meet them where you're at, where they're at, you have to ask questions. You have to figure out where they are. I think we sometimes make assumptions and think we know, but that's maybe part of connecting, is asking questions and learning where they are to be able to meet them where they are. Would you agree, Presley?
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Any of the others have a thought about that one?
What do you wish teachers knew?
Or did we cover it all there? No? Okay. That's all right. We're good? Okay. You guys, this has been so good. We really appreciate this. This has been so fun listening to you and getting your feedback on how this all works. Maybe we need to do this more. Because Julie and I, you know, we talk about all these things. Hey, you should do this and this and this. I think this is probably the most valuable thing that we could have done here, is to listen to you guys and hear what things really are. So thank you. You guys are great. Yeah. Now, for those listening, if you would, I was going to say love, share, invite.
Love, connect, teach.
Love, connect, teach. Eliza, right? Yep. Go do all that. And share this with other teachers of youth. And let's start making the time with our youth just incredibly valuable, full of the Spirit, letting them really connect with each other and teach each other. I think that's the biggest thing that I took away from it today, is connect with each other and let them teach each other. I love that. You guys,
I loved it. You guys, you were awesome. Very insightful. Thank you so much for participating in this.
Yeah. Until next time. Thanks, everyone. And thank you all.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Bye.